Welcome to the Mostly Mom podcast, where we have conversations about being a mom and all the other things we do along the way that make us who we are. Hi, I'm Kristen Shelvin. While my days are filled with many roles and responsibilities, Mostly Mom is my favorite title. I think normal moms have the best stories, but they don't usually get to share them. I'd like to take some time to sit down with a fellow mom to discuss the good and the hard, the joy and the sorrow, what we're facing in our current season of motherhood, and lessons we've learned along the way. I hope you are encouraged, challenged, and inspired by these conversations. Well, hi, Kayla.
Hi!
It's fun to have you here. I'm so glad you said yes to coming and talking on the podcast. And I'm so excited to hear. I have so many questions I could ask you. But I want to start where I want to start every podcast, which is just tell us your story.
Also, thank you for having me. I was so excited to come here and support you. And I think this is awesome already. So a little bit about me. Yeah, I grew up Western Maryland, grew up a PK kid. I have two older brothers. I'm the only girl, which I was like the only girl and I was like the youngest, which kind of felt like a double whammy for me of like being the only girl. I was an athlete. I ended up playing volleyball in college and it eventually took me out to Colorado, which brought me out west, which I love it here. And so I was in Denver, Colorado for about 10 years. And then Logan and I and our family have been here for almost 3 years now. And we used to have a purple house in Manhattan and it's been a fixer upper. And goodness, the past 3 years alone have been moving into this house, renovating it, and having two boys, very young boys in the process, which they are both 15 months apart. So we've been busy, to say the least.
Yeah, renovating a house with two toddlers.
Yes, yes.
Both of those things alone are a lot. And then throw them together.
Yeah, my own therapist is like, Kayla, you've had many a things that have kind of like one of those things is stressful alone, let alone like, you know, the kind of like all of those things, a house, a baby, starting my business, stopping it for maternity leave, starting it again, all within 15 months, you know, that's, yeah. I'm thankful where I'm at in this season of life. I feel like I'm finally like getting some reprieve where we're at this place where our house is, the majority of it is almost done. And so that feels really good.
You're able to get an exhale.
Yes. I feel that exhale coming, Kristen. Like, I'm almost there. I can see it happening. And so that feels really, really nice.
So remind us how old the boys are right now.
Yes, I will. Well, it's so funny because I said this for the first time the other day and I was like, I have a 2-year-old and I have a 1-year-old.
Because he just turned, right?
He just turned one in October. And so, yeah, they're 15 months apart. And I feel like I have a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old. I'm so thankful and I'm so blessed by them and exhausted by them, but also, yeah, motherhood's been a wild ride. I do, Kristen, I feel like Logan and I both feel like we've been in the baby like stage for like 2 years because we kind of have been. And so we're kind of at this sweet spot where it's really, really fun. Like it's getting very fun because I think my bent and something I'm like unashamedly kind of admitting these days is like, I don't know if the newborn baby stage was like my jam. Like, I don't know how much I loved it, but kind of like where Forrest and Huck are at now, it's like, oh, this is kind of like so fun for me.
I feel like every mom has a stage that is their sweet spot and a stage that maybe they just have to sort of get through.
Yeah. I wish someone would have told me that. Maybe that's the advice I wish I would have gotten was, hey, it's okay if you don't love this.
Yeah.
And so I would say that to any new mom probably too as well. Like, that's okay. And I know that they all have their hards, but I am very excited to see like Forrest's and Huck's relationship grow as they get older. And even for me as a mom, it's been a real sweet spot right now.
Yeah. I want to back up a little bit. So you were talking growing up in Maryland, heading off to college, playing volleyball.
Yes.
You are a counselor.
Yes.
How did you, during college, how did you land on that? Like, where was that piece of you that knew that's what you wanted to do for your life?
Great question, Kristen. I studied human development and family studies in my undergrad, and I always had this feeling, at the time I thought I was going to do school counseling. I like loved my school counselor like so much growing up. He helped me with my transition to UConn and so University of Connecticut, where I played volleyball at. And so I already had this thought of like, I want to pursue school counseling, just kind of in like how God's wired me and created me. And at the time, Logan was a teacher. And so I can't help but be like, okay, I think, you know, we'd have summers off together. I think we were both very passionate about teens and adolescents. And it was such a formative time in my own life and an area where I kind of like, in the sense of like, it was very lonely for me in my teenage years. And so I wanted to give back to other teens in a place where I felt really lonely.
Yeah.
And so that kind of morphed into even further, you know, after I graduated, I ended up transferring out to Colorado State and finished up there. But right after I graduated, Kristen, is when my dad passed away unexpectedly.
Yeah.
So I kind of, you know, as you would think, my dad was this invincible guy. I never thought this would happen. I ended up moving back in with my mom to be with her because I was only sibling, not married. Mm-hmm. And it was just a season of grief and, you know, doing my own therapy. And it kind of solidified my desire and my passion all the more to pursue counseling. And I went to Denver Seminary for mm-hmm. grad school, and I started in school counseling program, and then God was sweet of saying, Kayla, like, you can work with teens and adolescents in your own therapy practice. Like, it doesn't have to be school counseling. And so God was very sweet and like, Kayla, how I've wired you and created you and the flexibilities that my private practice offers me now, I'm just incredibly grateful for. But all the while, I think, Kristen, too, through my own grief and loss with my dad and my walk with God, I think me as a therapist loves to bridge the gap between what I feel like a lot of people have their walk with God over here, mm-hmm. and then they have their mental, emotional health or grief or pain. And then just kind of like integrating those and God meeting us in our humanity.
Yeah. Everything is connected.
Yes.
And approaching it that way.
Yeah. I love being a therapist because I love not just the mental, emotional health kind of like side of things, but just God in the midst of that and how they're viewing God in the midst of their mental, emotional health. Because I think a lot of the times we unfortunately do separate it, or it feels like, you know, God's ashamed of me, or God's, I know with my dad in particular, Kristen, I was like, it was the first time I like was so angry.
Yeah.
And I grew up, there was a lot of spiritual bypassing. Like, we don't say those things, you know, like God's good all the time. And it's like, are those things true? Yes. But I actually have found, both in my personal walk, but also as a therapist and what I do for others, is it's actually in naming like what comes up in our humanness and our brokenness of like emotions and feelings and anxieties and fears, that I actually, it's the very place that God meets us, and we actually learn way more about who he is and his character and love for us. Yeah. Versus just going to that first
and being able to say, yes, God is good.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that.
Yeah.
But this thing is happening.
Yeah.
And how do those two things fit together?
Yeah.
That feels like that's the work of therapy, right?
Yes. Yeah. So I really, 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 I think that's what, you know, God's wired me and designed me. And I also, I have my own small private practice. I work 2 days a week, and it's been a really great balance for me as a mom. And I'm just so grateful and honored for what I do, and I get to hear people's stories, and be a small role in their life, and it's incredible. It's a real, real honor, Kristen, to do what I do. And it's been, as much as like my clients have changed, it's like changed me a lot too.
And you're working mostly with teens now.
Yeah. So I work, the majority of who I see are teens and young adults, and not that I even marketed myself like that, but it's just kind of happened and I'm loving it. And I think it's a real need, and it goes back to what I said about my own story of just, I mean, I was a PK kid, and I guess I just felt like there was a certain standard I had to withhold.
And when you say PK kid,
oh yes, pastor's kid. Thank you, Kristen. Yeah, I think that there was just this expectation on me. Mm-hmm. And there was very few spaces where I just felt like I could be Kayla. Mm-hmm. And that meant with my humanness and things that were going on. And so I'm so thankful. I just felt, you know, I love what I get to do with teens and letting them be seen and supported. I think at the end of the day, some of my work honestly just feels like being in their corner.
Yeah.
You know? And that is a delight.
One question I wanted to ask you, I feel like we could have a whole podcast on just walking through the death of your dad.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things just around that we could talk about.
Yeah.
But you talked about moving back in with your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And how did your relationship with your mom change and develop through that grieving process together?
Like I said, I was the only girl. So naturally, you could assume like I was a daddy's girl. And, you know, out of my three siblings, I was the one who pursued athletics. So my dad was really athletic, and he just like championed me. Like I never doubted myself because I just believed my dad, you know, in what he said. Like I wouldn't have played college had it wouldn't been for my dad. I wouldn't have done the things in my life because he just believed in me. And that, so me and my dad were very close. And my mom and I make this joke of like, my mom was close with my dad, but my dad was close with my mom, but almost like he got in the way of like us growing a relationship. Mm. And so after he passed, it was really, really sweet, to build a relationship with my mom that honestly, Kristen, for not the majority of my life, but it felt like the majority of my life, it was like missing in the sense of, I was just naturally close to my dad, and that's just how we were. So me and my mom really grew through that. It almost felt like when I was having a hard day, she was doing okay, and vice versa. And so we really got to really get close to one another during that time.
Yeah. It sounds like you got to sort of carry each other through that whole grief process.
Yeah. It was, I'm very thankful for this season of life that I was in the sense of like, I really didn't have like responsibility, like the obligations that I could just be for a year.
Yeah.
And I'm really grateful for that. I feel like a lot of people probably aren't as fortunate when they're going through grief. And yeah, and I, along the lines of grief, because I know that this is a somewhat mom podcast, right? Because like it was interesting having lost my dad, and then before I had Forrest, I had an ectopic miscarriage.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting of like, okay, I know that, you know, losing my dad shaped me and formed me and grew me in a lot of ways. And, you know, God meeting me in that place. But like going through my ectopic, it was like, oh, like this is similar grief, but different.
Yeah.
So I was like somewhat familiar with grief at that point going through an ectopic, but even just that, like 1 in 4, I think was the last statistic on it, Kristen, like go through miscarriages, but nothing felt so like grief in itself is lonely. Right. And I just, I think I say and remember my miscarriage, because when I look at the boys today, I don't know if it's just me, but I'm like, every day I look at them and I'm like, I can't believe you're here. Like, you exist. Like, it's such a sign of God's, like, faithfulness and love. And I'm not kidding. Like, every day I look at them, like, I can't believe you're real. Like, so, yeah.
So thinking through all these things of who you are and your story and your history, given, you know, the loss of your dad and your training as a counselor,
mm-hmm.
how, and then also just that change in relationship with your mom.
Yeah.
How has all of those things, do you think, shaped you uniquely as you parent your boys? Like, are there things that you yeah. know you do different because you've walked through those things?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I'm trying to find the balance. Kristen, too, like, Logan and I joke, I'm like, oh my goodness, our boys have parents who, one's a pastor and one's a therapist. That just, in and of itself, I'm like, oh, okay. And yet, I think Logan and I carry this lightness of, like, we obviously know we're not going to do it perfect, but I definitely, I want to do it well. And yeah. I know the experience and the pressure of the peak, like, growing up a pastor's kid. And so it's really, really important for Forrest and Huck to have their own space to know dad as dad and not yeah. just dad as pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad did that really well, but also just maybe perhaps just when the time comes, being able to talk about them more or just making sure they have their space away from all the expectations it maybe came with or just feeling known or like, so I think that's on the kind of like as a pastor's kid side of things, I think is really important yeah. to me of like being able to talk through all of that. I think as a therapist, I really, really obviously care about their social emotional development. And you kind of, I don't know if it's just me, Kristen, but you see that everywhere. Like whether that's gentle parenting or someone I really like is, I think it's Becky Kennedy. She does Good Inside. There is obviously being a therapist and seeing the work I do, knowing that these years matter and they're yeah. formative. And there's also like this hope and repair always. So I think as a mom, I hold the tension of both of like, it's the goal of parenting is not to be perfect, far from it, but to model and show my like range of emotions too. Which I will, right? Because we have little human beings that their brains are being formed and they're not fully formed and they're dysregulated and their dysregulation causes me to dysregulate. And what do I do? Like, I feel like so much of parenting is really bringing up and bringing out all this stuff of like,
yeah.
what's mine and how do I manage that so that I can love them well? Now, will I always get that right? No, of course not. Is there always room to like go back to a situation repair? Absolutely. But so I think me as a therapist definitely informs how I'm parenting the boys, but also I think not wanting to be even just my own kindness of myself, knowing I won't be perfect.
Yeah, because there is this pressure of like you got to get early childhood development right because they're forming attachments and
so much
all
pressure.
Of this pressure, and at the same time kids are resilient, yeah, they'll be okay. I'm like, well, it's a little, it's somewhere in the middle probably, right? Like we're gonna mess it up,
right?
But how do you create an atmosphere where, like you're saying, you kids can be themselves, they can mess up, they yeah. can come back and we can fix things together. Yeah. As a mom, you can have a bad day and it's not going to destroy your yeah. parenting, and you can come back and yes. fix things and repair. And
yes.
that idea of just being a safe place to be a human and to become a human and
yeah.
Figure out who you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing like motherhood. It's just has brought up so much for me in my own childhood. Right? I don't know your experience,
yeah.
Kristen, but it just has brought up so much. And we get the opportunity of giving that back to our kids. You know, like, I even think generationally, I often think back of kind of the stories I've heard about basically like my great-grandpa and how he was kind of like, honestly, like physically abusive to my grandpa. My grandpa was then therefore kind of like a yeller to my dad. And then watching my dad kind of own that this is a part of him, mm-hmm. but also like he would always, if something were to happen or explode, like he would always come back and say he was sorry. And so like, I love looking at that, Kristen, because yeah. I'm like, I think we all get to own what's formed us, what's shaped us, what's influenced us in our core families, right? And, but at the same time, own like, okay, it'll be, what do I want to own for my family and what's going to look differently for me? And yeah. I think that's the best that any of us can do, right?
Yeah, what are we going to do different? Yeah. And to like put a stake in the ground that we want to do it different.
Yeah.
Also knowing that we have these things in our histories that are going
right.
to raise up and flare up, and to just be aware enough to know like, oh, I wasn't going to do it this way. Right. I need to apologize to my kids.
And I love that it also gives me so much compassion and empathy for thinking about my dad, you know, of like, or just maybe that's encouraging for someone else out there. But it's like, I don't want that to minimize the hurt done, but it does give you insight of like, oh, maybe they were perhaps doing the best they could with what they had.
Yeah. What has been one of the biggest joys in being a mom for you?
Besides sleeping through the night. Truly, Kristen. I say that jokingly, but somewhat seriously, because Forrest, I kid you not, the night, like the few nights before we brought Huck home, Forrest was sleeping through the night for the first time. And so, the Holloman house hasn't had much sleep in the past 2 years, but that's okay. We'll be okay. The joys that, as a mom, I think I love what I do. I love my work. And I also see my boys as like the greatest work I could do too, just in them being here and watching them explore, like Forrest is in a like, what's that mommy phase? Mm. Like, what's that? What's that? And like, he may say that 100 times a day, but at the same time, like it shows like he's exploring and he's learning and, just the work and seeing him in the midst of that and slowing down with him. I think, even as I'm processing through this, Kristen, I think I love that both of the boys have given me the opportunity to slow down my life and like what's important.
Yeah.
To go at their pace. That's a real joy and a real honor.
Yeah. What has been one of the big joys with your work?
Yeah, I think, you know, that moment for me when my clients like kind of can realize like, oh, change is happening in them, or that it's possible, or they have hope, or they're seeing things differently for the first time. It's incredible.
Like, some of those patterns can change.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's like the first time that they're seeing it and they're aware of it and they've noticed it. And that is amazing. Because it's like, I could tell them that, you know, a million times. But when they get that, that's a really, really sweet spot for me of like, wow, like it's happening. Like change is possible. And I think it's a gift of the Holy Spirit in their lives and working, and there's a timeliness to it, but there is something really, really sweet to listen and watch and notice them get it, and that things don't have to just stay the way that they are in that hurt and pain. Like, I think, you know, with therapy, there is no doubt a space for grief and working through and processing the hurts. But then on the other side of that, Kristen, is like the redemption and the goodness. And like, I tell my clients all the time, like we can't experience joy and peace and happiness had we not experienced like sorrow and pain.
Yeah.
And so we go through the great length of it, but in those times when they're like, okay, like I'm going somewhere with this, or just noticing how it's kind of changing their lives. Like, that's no small thing.
Yeah, that's a big win.
Yeah, and that may not be, like, their whole life looks differently. It may be small wins. Like, we joked about, like, me sleeping through the night. Like, I love that I get to champion their small wins.
Because the small wins add up to the big wins, right?
Yeah. And what's really sweet about me saying that, Kristen, even now, it's like, that was my dad's influence on my life of like, he kind of was like everyone's cheerleader. Like he just knew how to like champion people and see the best in people and support people. And I love that I can do that in therapy of, like, champion, you know, there's so much, I feel like, yeah, breakthrough through, like, I feel like even just personally for my own self of, like, just seeing through people's shame and knowing that it doesn't have to stay like that. And just kind of leading in my own brokenness, too, of, like, just because I'm sitting in a therapist chair doesn't mean I'm any better. Like, and I think there's, like, a sweetness to that, Kristen.
Yeah.
That kind of just levels it out a little bit.
Well, and it's sweet. I hear you saying this, like, the sweetness of you get to carry what your dad was
yeah.
through you for other people. Like, you get to continue the legacy of him
yeah.
in your work and as you cheer on your kids. And
yeah, and that's such the paradox of grief, Kristen, mm-hmm. of, like, I wouldn't be, like, is there a day that goes by that I don't wish my dad was here? Like, no, of course, like, I wish he was here. And I wouldn't be, like, I probably wouldn't be living in Montana. I don't know if I'd be living in Montana. I don't know if I'd be doing what I'm doing now. And that's on the other side of grief, right?
Right.
That's possible for everyone.
Yeah, but you don't get there when you're in it. Like,
you don't get that.
You've got to walk through
the
mud.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of sitting with clients in it when they're going through it is just holding that tension of, we don't know yet. We don't know yet what the rest of your story will be.
I've heard of people calling it they want a pole vault to meaning. Like, yes. The meaning in grief. Like, no.
No.
You can't pole vault over all of your grief. You have to actually go through the process.
And yes.
The meaning maybe will come someday.
Right.
But you can't, like,
no.
start at the meaning.
No, Kristen, I think I was, like, 7 years into it. It wasn't, like, as soon as my dad passed away. I was like, okay, I'm going to be a therapist and it's going to be great.
And it's probably why so many of those, you know, the dumb things people say to you when you are in grief come across that way, because they're trying to hold the meaning for you.
They are.
Which is a kindness and a goodness. And
yes.
They're, again, doing the best thing they can think to do in the moment. But for someone in that deep grief, like, that's not helping.
It's not helping.
I'll get there someday. But today, this season, it's just about the sadness and making sure I work through that.
We joke, I think Logan and I joke of, like, the spiritual band-aid. Like, but God's got you. Or God. And it's like, yes, those things are true. And I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
And so for my clients, it's being with them in the pain before the meaning comes, right? And when it comes, it's amazing. But yet so is the work of being in the in-between.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even just this past season, walking through a friend of mine who lost a baby at, like, gosh, 15 weeks. She didn't find out till 18 weeks, so she delivered the baby, and it was just heartbreaking. Yeah. And the whole time, it's just, like, reminding, like, you're just in it.
Yeah.
You're in it. And there's nothing like grief that, like, just challenges, like, what we believe to be true about God and, like, his goodness. Like, I even can think about, like, losing my dad and just the scripture of, like, but God's for you, not against you. And that was really, really, really hard for me to believe, right? In that season. And it's like, I think grief brings up, obviously, like, why, you know, the whys of why would this happen. But I often think of, like, how we, I don't know, we just weren't meant to be in a life where we grieve or broken things happen. So I don't know if we actually, like, our bodies actually don't know how to respond to it. Because I don't know if we're supposed to, Kristen. And I often come back to that with anybody who's going through something hard. It's like, you're reacting, responding, and this is hard because I don't know if we're ever supposed to experience this.
It's not how it was meant to be.
It's not how it was meant to be. And our groaning and longing for why speaks to just that, of, like, it's not supposed to be like this.
Yeah, there's a reason this is hard.
Yeah.
There's a reason we don't want to walk through this
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Busy families need all the help they can get to stay organized. Enjoy your ordinary everyday as you manage your household with these digital download planning pages. Include sheets for homework, chores, summer activities, meal planning, weekly calendars, year-at-a-glance planning, and more. make your fridge look cute, or create a family binder to keep everyone organized. Purchase once and print forever. Weekly planning pages are bundled in Monday Start or Sunday Start format. For a limited time, buy the bundles at a 40% discount and get the liturgy prints as a bonus. The Get Ready Checklist and Summer Checklist are my favorites. Each of my kids knows exactly what's expected, and they take responsibility for what's on their list. Not just for the kids, there are also downloads you can use for vacation planning, grocery shopping, and habit tracking. Go to ordinaryeveryday.studio for the link.
Talk about the idea of changing your mind. Like, okay. Whether that's in, you know, we always think like, this is what life looks like. This is what it needs to look like. Mm. And then getting to a point realizing we need to pivot or adapt or adjust. Or maybe, not that it was the wrong thing, but we need to shift course.
Yeah.
Or have you had those moments where you can nail down, like, I needed to change my mind. I needed to rethink this thing.
Yeah, I think when you ask me that, Kristen, like, the first thing that comes to my mind is, like, I joke that I'm, like, a recovering idealist. I have this ideal in my mind constantly. And there's nothing like the two boys that have really helped challenge that in me. Because I will, I think I'm way more aware of my idealness now. Than I was in the past. And so it's like crushing, right? So my ability to pivot and be flexible and change my mind, honestly, Kristen, like, it's probably, I can admit, like, I struggle with it. I think I'm the kind of person who I get my heart set on something. And so it is hard for me to change my mind or to shift or, but in the context of my family, I'm thinking of, like, what's best for the boys. Ultimately, like, my idealism can only go so far because I'm like, this, but we also need to do this. Like, it's kind of like coming back to a reality. But yeah, I love that you asked that question because I can imagine that's something within your story too.
Oh, I think it's in all of our stories, right? Like, we, like you said, idealism, like, we've got this way we want things to look and we think we know how to get there, and then life happens or we have to be able to look at these things and say, okay, what do I need to let go of? And what am I holding on to too tightly? And where did I maybe get it wrong? And can I admit that I got it wrong?
Yes.
And how do I shift and adapt? Yeah. And I think we're not great at that as women. And
no. And maybe to just break it down for me for a daily thing, Kristen, like, when you said that, that helped me think of, like, all of a sudden going from one kid to two kids, like, the amount of things I have to let go every day, that's not ideal. I know, maybe I was thinking this question is like a big pivot, but small pivots in my day, Kristen, of going from one kid to two kids, I feel like in my mind I had this list ongoing of, like, what's priority and what's going to fall to the wayside. And I always laugh at myself because I always have these big aspirations for nap time. Like, I'm going to get, like, all these things done. And then I get the nap time and I'm like, I must have been kidding myself. Like, I get to this point where I just need to sit. But yeah, the amount of things that I feel like with any of us, maybe perhaps it's that flexibility of noticing our ideal and then noticing, like, okay, it's all right that these things fell to the way. Like, even just, like, cleaning my house, Kristen, or doing laundry, or just not shaming myself for that. Like, I the other day I was like, my house used to be so much cleaner. And I'm like, yeah, that was two kids ago. Like,
I remember sitting with a friend one time, and she knew me before kids. And she was over, and I don't know if it was two little girls or three little girls, but she was at her house one day, and I was saying how I feel like I've let so many things go. And I was kind of just, like, having a sob moment of, like, nothing is how I want it to be right now. And she looked around my house, and she was like, yeah, you have let a lot of things go. I mean, I think she just saw the dust, right? Like, and we had the relationship where she could honor that and say, well, yeah, you have.
Like, but to you, that was like, Oh, it was someone sees to. Me.
Like, yes. Yeah, I have let a lot of things go. And for the right reasons, right? To take care of the people.
Yeah.
Because they're more important than what my house looks like, even though Absolutely. We love a clean house.
And we love a good clean
dusted
house.
Dusted baseboards. All of the things.
I love that she just said it to you and you were like, wait, okay. The gift of validation, Kristen. I feel like I was telling a client the other day of like just being able to validate of like, this is why I haven't been able to clean my house and this is what's going on. And so funny, even being a therapist, I'm like constantly at the end of the day when it feels like it's been a marathon, I'm like, oh, like this is hard because it is hard. Yeah. Offering that validation that your friend gave you, Kristen, like we get to do that to ourselves.
This is hard because it is
because
hard.
Because it is. Yeah. I'm like, Kayla, you're raising two boys 15 months apart and they're lovely human beings and they're exhausting.
And you're not sleeping.
And I'm not sleeping.
All of those things add up. You have to let some stuff go.
Yes. And the gift of validation, like that's okay. Like the same thing your friend did to you. Yep. I think we get a chance to do, we need to do daily because it's like, okay, I'm okay. I will be okay.
I think that talks about why we need to let people in and why we need to have that open door. Like, come on in. My house is a disaster.
Yes.
I haven't had a shower. Yes. I need to brush my teeth. Whatever that looks like. Come on in.
I love, love, love when I go into a home and it's been lived in. I truly do. And maybe we need to say that more, but I'm like, I think one of my good friends, like she says that like houses are meant to be lived in.
Yeah.
And that's so good.
Yeah. I remember, again, people are in my home. Someone was in my house one time sitting on my couch across from me. And she'd never been in my home before. And she was looking around and she said, there's a lot of life here. Mm. And when I hear that, I think there's a mess. There's a mess everywhere. But then I looked around and I thought, you're right. There is life here. There's photos on the wall and there's dust and there's crumbs on the counter and there's a pile of lawn. Like that's the things that add up to a life that's full.
I love that.
Full,
I right? love that. I get that feeling after we host our community group on a Wednesday night and Logan and I are doing the dishes. I'm like, my friends are like, are you sure you're okay? Like we can, and I'm like, no, like this means we had a great night and we had people over and that feels so it's sweet to see, like, I'll do these dishes because it means, like, we had a meaningful meal together. Like, I love that perspective, Kristen, of, like, life's supposed to happen in our homes.
That's why I love baby noises in church, right? Like, there's life here. Like, there's supposed to be kid noises, you know?
Yes.
Not the maybe shrieking people, but those little, you know, gooey kid noises that are so sweet. Just they're happy and delighted. And I always think we need that. We need the noise. We need the mess of life.
Right. Yeah. Because on the other side of that mom, the other side of that baby, there's probably a mom being like, yes.
Yeah. I have all these lists of questions every time I sit down and we could go so many different places. What is something that surprised you that has just kind of blindsided you about motherhood?
Mm.
Good or bad?
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it. This probably speaks to like new moms, but I feel like I think being a therapist, I'm like, I'm good with vulnerability. I got this. Like, I don't mind sharing openly and honestly, but the vulnerability that came after having Forrest, I did not expect. In the sense of going outside with a little human being.
Yeah.
That felt so scary. Like, I don't know. There's nothing in the world that could have prepared me for that level of vulnerability or, you know, thinking about, now when I hear a baby cry, I'm like, oh, that's not even that loud. But when it's your baby, you think it's like so loud in your own mind. And I don't know. I think that there was just this vulnerability of being a new mom all of a sudden. And then like other people's perceptions of you as a new mom. And you just didn't have to think about things like that until then. So I'd say that there's so much motherhood that you just are probably like, you can never prepare for, and you can't. But I think that one's, yeah, maybe that's something that surprised me. Just like anything that feels like a milestone in motherhood, Kristen, like, I'm not kidding, like, within the past 2 weeks, we've dropped Forrest's pacifiers, and I've stopped nursing Huck. And maybe it's just me, but I think and I'm like the glass half empty girl. Thank goodness Logan's glass half full. Like, we definitely balance each other out. But I'm always like, I guess I go for the worst. I'm like, this is gonna be awful. And then you hear other people's stories of how awful it is. Another one of my friends was really sweet. One time she was like, I was dreading going on the plane with Forrest because he's not much of a cuddler. And he's like the most massive lap baby at this point in his age. He was like nearly two. We should have bought the other ticket, but hey. But I was so terrified that I was like, he's not going to sleep. It's going to be miserable. And you hear all these horror stories like we just do. And so she was so sweet. She was like, Kayla, but like he may surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I go back to that every hard thing because I'm like, maybe my kids will surprise me. And maybe I'll surprise myself as a mom, too.
Yeah.
And I will say, Kristen, I have as a mom, and they continue to surprise me. Because Forrest's past, like, did he miss it? One night? Yes. But has he done great? Yes. So, like, I think that's been really sweet to hold on to for me, that just this thought of, like, they may surprise you. And
yeah.
You know, you may surprise yourself, too, because I think you and me both can agree about the negativity about parenting and the shame that I felt, like, strolling a double bob around. Like, people like, oh, we got your hands full. You know, like, there's just so much out there, people going to the worst of, like, it's going to be awful and potty training sucks. And I'm like, ugh. And all that does is make us feel that. But I like this. I don't know. It's like they may surprise you. And so my boys have surprised me, and I've surprised myself as a mom too.
Well, I've got the three girls, right? And I did the math one day. But both of our husbands are named Logan.
Yes.
So my Logan. I told him one day, I just did the math, this is silly math, but I said, we have 9 years of middle school girls. And I was prepared for the worst. Like, this is going to be just drama and emotions and tears. And we're now on year four of 9 years with middle school girls. And I have to just, like, I have to think back. I was prepared for it to be the worst ever from all the stories I heard of people that had.
Because of the stories.
And because of everything culture says to us, right? And yes, there were emotions, and yes, there were tears, and yes, there's all the changes that happen. But my kids are really sweet kids, and it hasn't been. It surprised me that it hasn't been as terrible as everyone was saying. And it's really sweet, the conversations you have and the things that come in your, you know, in front of you that surprise you in good ways.
Aww.
That it doesn't always have to be. Yeah, as terrible as it's made out to be, right?
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I tend to be the pessimist of, like, we have to prepare for every outcome. And, you know, the Enneagram 6, that's like, prepare for the worst. I have every contingency covered.
Yes, I love knowing you're a 6.
You know, it doesn't have to be that way.
No.
And I even think of airplane rides we've had where there's been delay after delay after delay, like, we were not rerouted, but during COVID had this crazy, it's a whole story, crazy travel day with a COVID air traffic control shutdown.
Oh, no.
And like trying to find food at, you know, midnight in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport. And we have the best memories and the best stories from that day. And so the things that could have gone pretty terribly, you know, just in terms of inconvenience, not in terms of actual tragedy, but, you know, traveling with three little kids, and it was actually really fun.
That's
because
really
just being okay with all the,
yeah,
the things that come in and shift things off course.
Yes.
Which is good for me
yes.
to hear as a person who's similar to
I
you
know,
with that.
I know. Like, I could, I could have my own overwhelmed or anxiety actually get in the way, or it does get in the way of me actually recognizing, like, oh, Forrest is fine. Actually, he's more than fine. Like, he actually is loving the airport and he's being hilarious, and it's so fun to see him out and about like this. But everything that goes into, yeah, us thinking about all the different scenarios. And I don't, yeah, we probably wouldn't be good moms if we weren't thinking of all these things as well. It shows to the level which we care ultimately too.
Yeah. Yeah. These next two questions sort of go together. What is a really great piece of advice that you've received?
Mm.
And what's a really terrible piece of advice that you've received?
I feel like this probably feels redundant, Kristen, but the greatest advice is like, they might surprise you. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's, it's so funny, as an advice girl, I'm more of like, Logan jokes with me of like, I'm kind of like, don't tell me what to do. Like, I'm kind of like, so maybe I'm not great at receiving advice, but I think the sweet advice of they may surprise you, Kayla, like, to see the good in it was really helpful for me. Gosh, the negative or bad advice, maybe not negative, but bad advice. The only thing I can think of, Kristen, is just really my experiences of just people being so negative around motherhood. Or I remember being pregnant, working at the Y, and this sticks out to me vividly. And I remember like working out and this like older gentleman came up and he was like, well, they don't come with a manual. Like, I was like, thank you, sir, for that. Or yeah, or the looks on the airplanes, or just the, just the heartbreaking of just lack of empathy or curiosity or understanding. So maybe not bad advice, but just the presence of people not understanding, right? And we were talking about this earlier of how do we as moms not do that to other moms too? Because we've all experienced it. We've all experienced whether that's bad advice or just a look, right? And to not do that to others, you know? And I love that what you and me were talking about earlier, Kristen, before we began, of just we're all doing the best we can with what we've been given.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many unique complexities in that, of like how God's wired me, how he's wired you, how he's wired our kids, how he's wired our family. And can we just say that we're all doing what's best for us and our family? And so that means me and my family love to travel. Great. You know, like, I'll take my two boys to West Virginia over the holidays, and I'm sure I'll get looks, but I don't know, just extending that to others, I think it matters as a mom. Because when you received it and were seen by your friend,
yeah,
it was so sweet for you.
Yeah, and we're, most of us are probably hard enough on ourselves.
Yes, Kristen. Yeah. I'm so glad you said that, because I think that's where it ultimately comes from, is how do we not, I know I do, of have this doubt of like, am I doing what's best for my kids? Like, I remember transitioning Forrest to Stepping Stones daycare, and I'm like, is this the right move? Like, is this what I'm supposed to do? And there's a lot of fear in it. And then it's like, now today I'm like, I can't imagine life without it. And it was a great move for our family. But, and maybe that goes back to you saying like, we can adjust and be flexible. But when you think about all the variables and things when it comes to like how complex we are, and then the complexities of our family and personalities, and what has God really asked of us in our family? And are we, can we say, yes, we were doing that well? And can we offer that to other people of they're doing that too? Working mom, not working mom. I feel like I have my foot in both, right?
Yeah, and it might change, right? Like the things that I'm called to do in this season,
right,
they might shift to be something different.
Yeah.
And am I willing to kind of not listen to the noise and some of those negative, like, you're going to mess your kids up if you do this or if you do that.
Yeah.
Because you could find something on both sides. Like, you're going to mess them up if you do this. And if you do the other thing, it's going to mess.
Man.
There's always a peanut gallery. There's always a comment section out there, right? And to just look at yourself and your husband and your family and all the factors that people don't know about.
Yeah.
And say, okay, what's my calling for right now?
Yes. Doesn't that feel good. Like, especially with everything we're consuming. I remember there was a time after I had both of the boys, I took like a social media break because of what it made me feel to like look at all the motherhood parent, like all of it. Kristen was so overloading and overwhelming to me. And then what sparks in me, right, is comparison or, you know, I'm not doing enough, right? And I wonder if you're onto something there. If we could just pause and come back to our family, come back to our kids, come back to how God's wired us as moms, right? And be confident in that and be sure of that, because the noise is loud. It's very, very loud.
It's very loud. Mm. Yeah. I feel like we all have our own unique, well, we all have our own unique stories, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we all have some unique wisdom that we've acquired through our history. Mm-hmm. What is something that you, what's a piece of acquired wisdom that you could pass along to someone in your shoes, whether that's a mom who has little boys, a mom who's, like you said, both working mom and at-home mom, given your unique circumstances of parenting, what's some advice you'd give a mom who's kind of in your shoes?
I think it goes back to what we were saying, Kristen, just like trusting what God's, you know, I often think about like what God's given me in my plot, you know, with my family, which flows like into like my work and my family and my community. And like, what has God asked of me? That's, or another way of saying it, you know, in a different ways too. It's like, what is God already growing in my garden? Like, what's around me that he's wired me, my strengths, and just attending to that, you know, and what gets in the way of that, right? It's like the noise, social media, comparison. Like, I feel like I went into motherhood feeling like this is like me as an Enneagram 4 though, mind you, so I know this, but I went into parenting, so no doubt it came up in motherhood, of everyone's got it figured out but me. I had this belief of everyone's got it right but me, and that's just such a lie. But anyways, I go back to like, what has God given me to steward and to do the best I can with it? And that's my plot, and everyone else has their own unique plots. And I get exhausted and overextended when I go outside of mine.
So
like
good.
I do, yeah. Right, Kristen? I've like, because God hasn't asked that of me. And I go out of it always, a lot of the times, but I often have to come back to what has he gifted me in, and that goes along with my story and how he's shaped me and influenced me, how my circumstances have, how the loss of my dad, going through, you know, a miscarriage, just all these things shape and form us. But yeah, being able to not go outside of my bounds, because I think when we do, or we look outside of our bounds, we automatically go to, I'm doing this wrong, mm-hmm. I'm not good enough, I'm failing my kids, right? When we think someone else has got it figured out better than we do. And it's like, as I'm talking about it now, I remember just this thing of like, you're the best mom for your kid. Like, and I love that because it's so true. And so mm-hmm. that means the decisions you're making, whether you stay at home for a season, whether you go to work for a season, whether you do a little bit of both. And I think also for me, it's been helpful to notice like the sacrifices in all of that, right? Like whether you stay at home, whether you go to work, whether you homeschool, whether you go to public school, like, I don't know, like there's blessings and sacrifices in all of it, yeah. Kristen, that I've chosen with my family that works for us, that other people are choosing with their family that works for them too.
Yeah. I love the visual. I'm such a visual person. And I love that visual of this little cute little picket garden fence.
Yes.
And these little plants, whatever plants they are, and that's yours to mind.
Yeah.
And you're called to tend that garden.
Yeah.
And somebody else's garden is going to look way different. And this one over there might be filled with something different. And
yes.
They're all their own kind of beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. That's what I'd say.
Are you ready for the rapid fire?
Let's do it.
Just a random collection of questions.
I love that. Okay.
Try to answer them all in a minute or less.
Okay.
With the sentence or so.
Okay. Cut me off, Kristen. Permission to cut me off. Okay.
What are you reading right now?
Oh, funny. I went back to I'm actually reading Good Inside by, gosh, I need to look up her name, Dr. Becky. But it's about a parenting book. So it's helping, it feels like twofold of me with counseling and me as a mom. And yeah, I joke about what I read because it's always something to do with work or faith, which I need to get out of my box. Like, I would love any recommendations to get out of my box. It's typically like, kind of feels like work too, but it's a great book. It's a really, really good book. Another book, especially when it comes to mom in the mundane and ordinary day to day, like Liturgy of the Ordinary, yes, by Tish Harrison Warren. She also writes Prayer in the Night.
So good, both of those.
Two of my favorite books have changed my world, especially when it comes to a grief and loss, but also Liturgy of the Ordinary with just the day to day.
Yep.
Beautiful books, great books.
Yeah. What's the first thing you do in the morning?
Oh, my hope is Logan brings me a cup of coffee. I'm that mom who I'm like, it's so funny to me because I'm like, I just need my coffee. I do, Kristen. And the days when it's like, you know, the boys are, you know, we're in a season where they are demanding in ways where they just need me a lot. So if I have that cup of coffee, like, not even like leaving bed yet, of a cup of coffee before I start anything, that feels really sweet. And to be like, okay, I can do this. I can do anything now that I have coffee.
What's the last thing you do at night?
Last thing I do at night. Oh my gosh. I'm laughing because I feel like Logan and I have been watching like Survivor or British Bake Off. We kind of like take that time to like binge some shows. So I feel like we do that. Sometimes I read, sometimes I do like a Lectio Divina type of thing, but yeah. Survivor, British Bake Off, all great shows.
What's something that people get wrong about you?
I don't know why that one's so tough for me, Kristen.
You can say pass.
I know. Can I say pass? I mean, a thing I thought of is like that I'm an introvert, maybe? I don't know. I think I can fake extrovert, but I really, really love alone time and downtime is how I recharge.
Yeah. You're overwhelmed, caught in a moment of anxiety or stress. What's the first thing you do?
Oh, this feels like such a therapist answer.
It's okay.
Kristen, I feel like I would breathe.
Deep breath.
A totally deep breath. I remember, I'll keep this short, but going to my own therapy after my dad passed away, I remember a therapist telling me to breathe whenever I got angry. And I was like, I don't want to freaking breathe. Like, I got so mad at that advice. But I will say there is amazing things and just biologically speaking what breathing does. And so if I get panicky, it's probably like breathe and like text Logan, like call Logan.
I taught my kids the box breathing, one of them in particular, right? And then sometimes it's like, take your own advice, Kristen.
Yes, I need to do your box breathe.
Oh, describe an ordinary everyday moment that brings you joy.
Yeah, my first thought was like Forrest calling me mama.
Yeah.
Like, and maybe that speaks to, there was a time in my life where, you know, through my ectopic, through just things biologically in my body where my fear was like, I'll never have a kid. And so every time I hear mama or I see things around my house that remind me of the fact that I have kids, it's like really sweet. Like, and those are ordinary moments of my son saying mama, you know, like, but I'm like, oh, like that at one point in one season in my life, Kristen felt like so far from reality, honestly. So that moment of hearing mama, and I think too, like equally hearing dada in my house is so sweet for me because me in my own losing my dad, there was this part where I was like, where I was so mad, where I was like, I don't want to, I'll never say dad again. Like, there was a grief in that. I know that feels extreme, but hearing the boys say dada is equally as sweet in our house and an everyday moment.
Oh, I love it. Any last words? Anything we forgot to talk about?
This was so fun.
This was fun.
Yes. Last words, Kristen. I'm just happy to do this with you and to support moms, and I hope they feel encouraged of what's in their plots and that it's growing and it's beautiful and it's good. And to quiet the noise, I think me as a new mom would want to hear that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Mostly Mom podcast is a production from Ordinary Everyday Studio. Find us on Instagram and online at ordinaryeveryday.studio. Audio and editing by Logan Tomorrow. Thank you for listening.